minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'll offer a couple of reminiscences of my own. One is that Mr. Leidig was born on the same date and same year as my own dad. And as Jean shared her story about the depression gene, I thought I was listening to something that could have been said about my own father. So that was special to me. The other thing is, as I believe Russ mentioned, John and Esther would have been married 72 years, is that correct? And whenever the subject of marriage would come up and someone would say, well, how long have you been married? Or someone would offer how long they've been married. John Leidig would always say, however many years it was, you know, they could have been married for 50 years. And he'd say, that's a good start. So that's one of my memories of Mr. Leidig. And he attended our men's breakfasts here at New Life Church and was always obviously very supportive of Esther and his family. And we cared for him very much. And we offer our condolences on behalf of your church. If I were to say to you that death is an ugly thing, that death is undesirable. The Bible even says that some, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong bondage. If I were to mention those things, I wouldn't be telling you anything that you don't already know. But today I want to ask the question, what good is death? What good is death? And you won't be surprised that the short answer to that question is nothing. There is nothing good about death. God hates death, and thus God came to destroy death. Perhaps you were listening when I prayed earlier today that he is the God who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So perhaps at a time like this, when we are memorializing our friend and relative, what we want to ask is another question: why does death exist in the first place? And according to God's word, the Bible, we must associate death with sin. The Bible says that the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. God created the world at the beginning without sin. There was no rebellion against God. There was no ignoring and despising of him. But sin came into the world when our first parents sinned in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says that sin came into the world through one man. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. Why are there young men who will do such horrible things as set off bombs and kill and maim innocent people? Why are there occasions where someone will go into a school and shoot poor children? The reason is because of sin. And the Bible says, as I've already mentioned, that each one of us partake of that sinful nature. We are all in need of the redemption that God has accomplished through Jesus Christ. And that is exactly how God has done something about this horrible universal plague that is upon mankind that we call death. God destroyed death. God abolished death and brought life and immortality through the gospel by dying. God became incarnate. He came in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross, he was not merely a martyr. He was not merely an example. He was a substitute. And upon him, God poured out the just penalty for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ bore the sins of his people in his own body on the tree. God cannot die in himself, but God, coming in the flesh, being incarnate, was able to die. The Bible even says in one place that God bought his church with his own blood. And so God brought good out of the death of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died, those who believe in him escaped death. And that is why he said to the sisters of Lazarus, as we read earlier today, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall never die. And if you should die, that is it, when you die in this life, you will rise again." Martha knew that. She knew that her brother would rise at the end. When all who are in the graves hear the voice of the Son of God, and some come forth to a resurrection of life, and others to the resurrection of damnation. These are very serious and consequential matters with which we have to do as we consider the death of a loved one, and as we realize that death, in all its ugliness and sorrow, will come to each of us as well. The question that I put to each of you this morning is, are you ready to meet that day? And just as God brought good out of the death of Jesus Christ, just as in dying, Jesus Christ, as it were, slew death itself, so there might be good that can come out of the death of our beloved John Leidig. It is in this that we can be reminded that we each will soon follow him into eternity. And the Bible is very clear. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, those who trust in him, those who have been made aware by the Holy Spirit of God that they are indeed guilty of sin and in need of that substitutionary sacrifice on their behalf. Those who trust in him and believe in him will inherit eternal life. They will be a partaker of that resurrection. It's God's free gift. Many are under the impression that the way we attain to heavenly glory is by how we are able to please God. But you see, the rest of the verse I quoted before, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. God's law makes us aware that we are unable to do that. We are unable in ourselves to please God so that we could, as it were, climb up into his heaven. We must receive it by his, as his free gift alone. And so as you remember our dear friend, Esther's husband, this beloved father, this beloved friend of many, don't think of his goodness, all the good things that he did, as able to get him a ticket, so to speak, into heaven. And don't think of your own good works as how you will enter heaven. But look to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Believe on him. Perhaps everyone here is familiar with that beloved verse of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. If God is speaking to your heart this afternoon through this exposition of his word, please, I urge you, in the name of our God, not to hesitate. If you've been skeptical of the things of God all your life, perhaps God has brought you to this time and place, a time when a friend is being remembered who has passed out of this life and into eternity. Perhaps God has brought you here that you might hear this word, this good news, that there is revealed from heaven a way of salvation, a way to be redeemed, a way to be forgiven, the only way. What did our Lord say to his disciples in that upper room? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. And now I'll ask you to stand with me and sing of this message. If you'll turn to the back of your bulletin,